The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. My resolve, I was not enthusiastic about Donald Trump. My resolve began to weaken, I think, when he did something that I, at least in my lifetime, I've never seen done by a presidential candidate, much less a president. He got a list. He had a list of Supreme Court possible nominees, and he was willing to share it publicly with people while he was still running for president. And looking at the list and seeing that kind of resolve, I began to wonder whether or not it might be worth it. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court of the United States post-election. Ed Meese joins us. He's 75th Attorney General of the United States, Ronald Reagan Distinguished Fellow Emeritus for the Heritage Foundation. Ed, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you and your listeners.
When Donald Trump made public that list of his potential nominees for the U.S. Supreme Court, especially to fill Antonin Scalia's vacant seat, was that a wise thing for him to do?
Well, I think it was. A lot of people didn't know much about Mr. Trump, particularly about how he regarded the Constitution, how he felt about the Supreme Court, whether or not he recognized the importance of the appointments of justices and federal judges. And so I think it was a good way to let the public know by giving a list of people, the type of people that he would appoint as judges. This was a list that was in many ways vetted by some of the conservative organizations and the rule of law organizations in Washington, D.C. So I think overall it gave a number of people confidence that President Trump would be very cognizant of the importance of constitutional appointments to the court.
He also talked about appointing a Scalia-like judge. I think those were actually his words there at one time, to fill the vacant seat left by Antonin Scalia. The conventional wisdom in Washington has been, you know, no litmus tests. That's not fair. We need to have someone who doesn't have to answer prearranged questions. But it sounds like President-elect Trump is kind of throwing that conventional wisdom out the window a little bit. What do you think?
Well, I think it's always a fair question to ask whether a potential justice of the Supreme Court, or for that matter, any judge, is going to be true to their oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And so in that sense, I think being sure of that, indicating that the type of person who is going to replace Justice Scalia. Justice Scalia, you know, was one of the finest and most constitutionally faithful justices in history. And so I think that's why it was so important to assure the people of the country that whoever might be appointed there would follow Justice Scalia's excellent example.
Why is it so important that justices of the Supreme Court take a constructionist view of the U.S. Constitution? Why is that vital, Ed?
Well, it's really whether we will have government of the law or government by law, or whether we will have government that changes every time somebody else is appointed to the Supreme Court. And it's a matter of really following the rule of law so that all people will be treated equally, fairly, and that we won't have partisan politics determining who's going to be appropriately treated under the Constitution.
Of course, the president also has the power to appoint many, many, many other federal judges, just by the dozens there. Why is that an important power of the president?
Well, it's really equally important, I think, to the Supreme Court, because, as you probably know, the Supreme Court only takes a few cases, less than 100 each year, whereas literally hundreds of cases, thousands to be sure, are decided by judges in other courts, particularly the appellate courts in the several circuits around the country. So all judges really should be appointed on the basis of their fidelity to the Constitution and their following of the rule of law.
There are those who are saying, and some of it's speculation, that a President Trump might have the opportunity in his first 4 years to, he's certainly going to replace one, but he might have the opportunity to do two or three. In your opinion, who might those be?
Well, I think the reason people feel that way is just a matter of the age of some of the justices. One justice, Justice Ginsburg, is, I believe, 82. Another justice, Justice Kennedy, is 80. Justice Breyer, I believe, is 78. So it's just a matter of age and the probability that most people are retired by that time. And so for that reason, I think it's not at all improbable that that President Trump would be able to appoint at least the one you mentioned, but as many as two or three others during his first term.
You saw President Reagan's nominees for the court, Justice Robert Bork and Douglas Ginsburg, shot down by the U.S. Senate. What kind of uphill battle will a President Trump appointee have?
Well, I don't think he will have too much of an uphill battle with the substitute or the replacement for Justice Scalia. I would hope not. I think probably there'll be a greater fight later on when other justices retire, particularly those who come from the more anti-constitutional side of the judiciary, those who are less faithful to the Constitution. When one of them retires, then I think it's entirely possible that there'll be more of a fight. But I would think that President Trump will appoint people who will be excellent in terms of their qualifications, will be excellent in terms of their character and fidelity to the Constitution. And on that basis, I would hope that his selections for the federal judiciary, particularly the Supreme Court, will be upheld by the Senate. Also, I think we have to recognize the fact that the Senate now will be in Republican hands, although it is possible that in some ways the filibusters could be used to prevent the president's nominee being ultimately confirmed. But I would hope that wouldn't be true, that that in this kind of an important position, that the Republicans would have the opportunity to have choice be confirmed by the Senate. I think the case of Robert Bork particularly, and also Judge Ginsburg not being approved, was an embarrassment to the Senate because they were both excellent judges.
Finally, was it wise for Senate Republicans to refuse to consider President Obama's latest nominee, Merrick Garland, and will that come back to haunt the Republicans?
Well, it shouldn't haunt them because they were merely following a tradition that had been established by the Democrats themselves, and where as recently as just a few years ago, when a similar situation happened in reverse, it was the Democrats who proclaimed that in the last year of a president's term, if there was an opening in the Supreme Court, they would never vote to approve anyone that Republican president had nominated. So it was really following a pattern that was established by the Democrats themselves.
Ed Meese is the 75th Attorney General of the United States and Ronald Reagan Distinguished Fellow Emeritus for the Heritage Foundation. Ed, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. It's been good to be with you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to turn to the issue of social conservatism and the election. Aaron Wolf will be our guest, managing editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column titled Roll Up Your Sleeves, Deplorables. We'll be talking a little bit about, well, the unexpected nature of the election results, but also what the expectations of social conservatism is for the next 4 years and whether or not those expectations are realistic. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.